Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Century Casinos Q1 2019 earnings conference call. This call will be recorded. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. I would like to introduce our host for today's call, Mr. Peter Hoetzinger. Mr. Hoetzinger, you may begin.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our earnings call. With me on the call are my co-CEO and the chairman of Century Casinos, Erwin Haitzmann, as well as our Executive Vice President of Finance, Margaret Stapleton. Before we begin, we'd like to remind you that we will be discussing forward-looking information, which involves a number of risks and uncertainties that may cause actual results to differ materially from our forward-looking statements. The company undertakes no obligation to update or revise the forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. We do provide a detailed discussion of the various risk factors in our SEC filings and encourage you to review these filings. In addition, throughout our call, we refer to several non-GAAP financial measures, including, but not limited to, adjusted EBITDA. Reconciliations of our non-GAAP performance and liquidity measures to the appropriate GAAP measures can be found in our news release and the SEC filing, available in the investor section of our website at www.cnty.com. I will now provide a brief review of the company's financial results for the first quarter 2019. Following these prepared remarks, there will be a question and answer session. Well, this was another very good quarter for us. Net operating revenue was up 12%, even though we were negatively impacted by exchange rates. In constant currency, revenue was up by 20%. Adjusted EBITDA increased by 2%, but that includes a full month of pre-opening costs and expenses at Century Mile Racetrack and Casino to the tune of $700,000. Our auditors say that we have to include the costs and expenses of the 1 month prior to opening any casino. Excluding that, the what I would call real adjusted EBITDA is $7.4 million, and that is 13% higher than last year. Earnings per share increased by 33%. Canada remains our strongest segment, generating 36% of our consolidated revenue and 56% of our EBITDA. In local currency, the Canadian operations grew revenues by 17% and adjusted EBITDA by 12%. The two casinos we own and operate in the Greater Edmonton market, the Century Casino and Hotel Edmonton and the Century Casino St. Albert, grew revenues by 1% and 4% respectively, and adjusted EBITDA by 1% and 22% respectively. At the end of January, Northlands Park Casino, the closest competitor to our property in Edmonton, closed for good. That certainly helped bringing in quite a lot of new faces. We noticed a strong increase in sign-ups to our loyalty program. That positive momentum was offset by an extreme cold that settled over the area for about 2 weeks in February. The extreme temperatures combined with heavy snowfall deterred people from venturing out unnecessarily. It was one of the coldest months on record. With that in mind, these revenue and EBITDA increases are even more remarkable. Our two casinos in the Calgary market, Century Downs and Century Casino, performed even better and generated revenue growth of 11% and 8% respectively. Adjusted EBITDA increased by 25% and 62% respectively. As Century Downs Racetrack and Casino is doing so well and consistently doing so well, we are expanding and plan to increase the floor space by about 20% by the end of the year. That the total capex for that casino expansion will be around $1.5 million, and we estimate to generate an EBITDA return on that investment of approximately 80%, possibly even 100%. In the U.S., our two operations in Colorado contributed 18% of our consolidated revenue and 22% of our EBITDA. Revenues increased by 5%, adjusted EBITDA was up 12%. Both property in Central City and in Cripple Creek did very well. In Central City, we kept our market share steady compared to last year. In Cripple Creek, we actually gained market share. Cripple Creek increased EBITDA by 14% based on a strong 28% EBITDA margin. We maintain a positive outlook and project further growth due to solid regional economic conditions, a strong tourist business, and the great positioning and loyal following our properties have in that market. In Poland, our casinos generated 43% of the company's total revenue and 28% of our EBITDA. In local currency, revenue was up 27% for the quarter, and EBITDA was up 30%. As most of you know, our Polish business was negatively impacted by licensing delays between Q4 17 and Q3 18. We're glad that things are now back to normal in Poland and look forward to generating high EBITDA margins going forward. Already, things are moving in the right direction. The EBITDA margin in Q1 was 12%, up from 9% in Q4 18. In the UK, the casino in Bath is still disappointing. EBITDA was a negative 700,000. What should help is the reduction of the maximum stake at machines in betting shops, down from £100 to just £2, effective as of April 1st of this year. And in fact, April results show some improvements already, but still not quite enough to reach profitability. Now a quick look at our balance sheet and liquidity. We have 49 million in cash and cash equivalents and 68 million in outstanding debt. That brings the total debt to adjusted EBITDA ratio to 2.9 and the net debt to adjusted EBITDA ratio to 0.8. Our debt includes 48 million related to our Bank of Montreal credit agreement, 15 million related to the Century Downs long-term land lease, and 5 million over in Europe. Our book value per share sits at $6.08. CapEx for existing operations during the quarter was 2.1 million or 4.7% of revenues, spent mainly on a new gaming floor at the Marriott Casino in Warsaw, Poland, as well as on new slots in Colorado and some FF&D in Canada. Total other CapEx in the quarter was 8.5 million, spent on Century Mile Racetrack and Casino in Edmonton, Canada, which opened its doors on April 1st. And just a little less than 2 weeks ago, on April 28th, we celebrated the grand opening of that facility with the first thoroughbred races on the one-mile racetrack. It was an exciting day for the entire Century Casinos family, seeing the hard work over the last 3 years coming to fruition, attracting huge crowds and strong business volumes at the gaming floor, the betting stations, and the F&B outlets. Net operating revenue for the first month of operation is estimated at 3 million Canadian, which equals about 2.2 million US dollars. Century Mile in Edmonton is about 50% larger, and the footprint is almost twice the size of our successful Century Downs facility in Calgary. We expect to create some synergies between the two racino operations by further broadening the reach of the Century brand in Alberta and Western Canada, by leveraging the two properties for reduction of cost and or sharing in contracted services, and by creating a stronger Century Racing brand for the sale of races to other racetracks, OTP networks, and advanced deposit wagering companies. And that becomes increasingly lucrative for us, as we also have the exclusive license for the Parimutuel off-track and internet horse betting network in the entire province of Alberta, with currently 37 off-track betting parlors in operation and over 500 locations worldwide offering wagering on horse races at Century Miles and Century Downs. All right, that pretty much sums up another very successful quarter. I thank you for your attention, and we can now start the Q&A session. Andrew, go ahead, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will conduct a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone now, and you will be placed in the queue in the order received. If you find that your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. We are now ready to begin. Our first question comes from the line of David Bain with Roth Capital. Please state your question.
Great. Thanks so much, and congratulations on the opening of Century Mile. It's great seeing it. We appreciate the April net revenue. I think that's very helpful. And I know that at the analyst day, you reiterated the 20 to 25% return on the project, and there's a lot of margin catalysts and patron catalysts and forward quarters, but I think it'd be helpful to kind of get a sense as to what you see as EBITDA contribution and maybe 2Q or 3Q, just to get a sense again on sort of that, how we should look at the margin ramp there.
Well, we believe that the margin or the return that we have indicated on 20, maybe up to 25% on the investment, that should kick in its first full year of operation, that being 2020. And until then, we see it ramping up to that number pretty gradually between now and the end of the year.
Okay. So fairly minimal for 2Q and then just ramping from there, is that?
No, not ramping from the get-go, actually.
Okay, great. And then for the Bath Casino, do you see that as hitting break-even in the second half?
Difficult. It's on its way, whether it's in the second half or a little bit later. It's too early to say.
Okay. Well, great. Again, love the opening. Thanks for the data point on the net revenue for Century Mile. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Dave.
Our next question comes from the line of Brad Boyer with Stifel. Please state your question.
Yeah, thanks for taking my questions, guys. First one's just around Poland. Congrats on having Poland be a bright spot in the quarter, not a thorn in everyone's side. So if I look at those 12% margins that you achieved in Poland in the quarter, and obviously, you know, appreciate that FX moves margins around for you guys. But, I mean, is it your expectation that you're going to kind of continue to see that margin in Poland ramp as we move further into 2019?
Erwin?
We think that, I mean, the first quarter was excellent. We made more EBITDA than in all of 2018. And I think it would be fair to assume that if you take that times four, then you have the number for the full year.
Okay, that's helpful. And then, I mean, the results at Century Downs, you know, continue to surprise us. You know, obviously the AGLC likes what they're seeing as well, given their, you know, decision to continue to, you know, give you guys more product there. Could you just give us a sense of, you know, what in your estimation is kind of driving the strength of that property?
I think that we manage it very well.
Okay. Anything more to add?
Yeah. You could. Sure. A racetrack, a casino provides a lot of opportunity to create extra traffic, more traffic than compared to a so-called, call it a regular casino. First of all, we have 100 racing days, which bring a certain amount of customers, and at some days like the Kentucky Derby, like last time, 2,500 people or so. And important to notice that many of those are customers that otherwise would not go to gamble. So we have the opportunity to expose our product and our gaming product to people who not necessarily see themselves as visitors of casinos. But it's a percentage game of 100 that come to see the races, X percent will also come back, and a certain number of those will become regulars. And then in connection with the over and above the racing, you know, we have in both properties, both in Central Towns and Central Mile as well, we have extra rooms that we can rent out for various opportunities like wedding parties and then birthday parties and so on. So that's another driver of traffic and ultimately driver of revenue. And to give you another example, on May the 5th, just this last Sunday, Cinco de Mayo, we had for the third time in a row an event that we are marketing together with Virgin Radio, and that's a Chihuahua race, and we're probably almost 200 Chihuahuas are racing in groups of 10, just like the horses, but only 50 meters or so, and every Chihuahua owner probably brings 10 or 15 friends. So suddenly we have another huge crowd of people that come for the Chihuahuas and not at all for the casino, but same thing like before, a certain percentage of those will like what they see and come back. Is that helpful at all?
Yep, very helpful. Appreciate the color there. And then just lastly, like David indicated, appreciate the color around Mile in April. I wanted to see if you could give us any sense of what you're seeing at Century Casinos Edmonton, as we've sort of cycled through some of the weather impact that you encountered in the first quarter as a result of Northlands Park closing. And that's it for me. Thanks.
Okay.
You're right. Okay. In Edmonton, we had a lower gross gaming revenue on the table game side, mainly due to a decrease in the baccarat draw, but we had an increase in the slot side. And the increase in the slots is we attribute to the closing of the Northlands Park. And the decrease in the baccarat drop is probably due to the to a little bit of headwind from Starlight and Grand Villa. We're working hard on regaining our market share there, and we hope that we will be successful in that effort.
Perfect. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Mike Malouf with Craig-Hallum. Please state your question.
Hi, guys. This is Eric DeLore on for Mike. Thanks for taking my question, and congrats on the quarter. I was wondering if we could talk a little bit about the Northern Alberta Paramutual Network that hit Century Mile in Q1, and specifically just how you guys are looking at the revenue breakdown of that compared to the overall revenue generated at the racetrack itself, or just the overall location itself, and whether that $3 million guide for the month of April included any of the Northern Alberta Paramutual Network betting. Thanks.
Peggy, can you start? Can you start with that? Did the number include the Paramutual?
Yes, it does include the Paramutual. Is in the racing numbers for April.
No. Okay. And any more in terms of what we see as a potential there, either Peggy or Irwin?
You could probably take Q1's Paramutual numbers and extrapolate those out for the year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that helps. And then just kind of wondering overall top line, what you guys expect, how you expect the Century Mile revenue to ramp with the Paramutual betting. Obviously, that's flat a bit, but I guess what I'm looking to get is how much we should expect Century Mile's top line to sort of accumulate as we look from Q2 over out through 2020, if it's going to be relatively flat with that $3 million monthly run rate, or if we should expect some increases as it matures.
Well, we have only 1 month under our belt now, so it's a bit early for us to say. But definitely, we expect to have a very busy summer with all the racing going on, and we know from Century Down's success that. And as Irwin indicated just now, the racing really helps us also on the gaming and the F&B revenue. So I think Q3 should be particularly strong, and Q4 is a little bit the uncertain quarter here. On the one hand, we should be ramping up towards next year nicely. We should have all the operational headaches under control by then, but Q4 could be a little bit weaker than Q3. Overall, I think 2020 we should be there at those 20 to 25% EBITDA returns on the investment.
Okay, great, that's helpful. And then last one for me. Appreciate the color on the £2 betting limit over in the UK as it relates to the Bath Casino. Could you also just provide some color on the safe betting regulations that kind of require some onerous financial disclosures to from the casino patrons and the overall impact of that? Thanks.
Yeah, the problem there is that, first of all, they came into in effect after we've opened, and yeah, they're pretty onerous. Whenever a player reaches £20,000 in table drop or slot coining or winnings or losses, we are required to ask for a lot of detailed financial information from that player, including income and so on. And you know, some players are hesitant to give to provide that, so it takes like on a one-on-one basis a lot of talking and discussions, and that really slows the ramp up down. But on the other hand, it's a level playing field for all the casinos in the UK, and so one by one we're convincing players, and players are coming back, but it's very, very slow process.
Okay, that's helpful.
Really,
thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Eric.
Our next question comes from the line of John DeCree with Union Gaming. Please state your question.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. Just wanted to maybe go big picture, and I think we maybe talked about a little bit about this recently, but now that Mile is open, obviously you know, plenty of work to do in ramping that up, and still a big focus. But I was wondering if you could kind of talk high level about the strategy from here. The balance sheet's obviously in great shape. You know, additional M&A or projects that you're thinking of. So if you could kind of give us a little insight as to what might be next for Century, that would be helpful.
Sure, John. Yeah, we've a couple of months ago, so we when we were very comfortable about how Century Mile is shaping up, we started to look around, and what we're seeing is that there is very limited, if at all, attractive greenfield situations out there. So we are focusing on the M&A side, and we do see in North America, especially in the U.S., quite a lot of attractive opportunities out there. Some of the larger companies do not really focus on assets that produce between 10 and up to 20 million EBITDA. It's too small for them. But of course, it would be meaningful for us. And we are zooming in on a few. Trying to get a deal that is beneficial for Century Casinos, and you know our history, we've always tried to not pay too much and to keep the balance sheet on a conservative level. So the challenge is to find those opportunities that offer a great potential for us at a price that conforms to our conservative approach. Now we believe that there are the ones or the others out there, and I think we've said that before. We are very hopeful and to have something presentable to you guys before the end of this year.
Great, that's a really helpful color. Thank you, and congratulations again on the opening in Alberta.
Thanks, John.
Our next question comes from the line of Brad Boyer with Stifel. Please state your question.
Yeah, coming back here, guys. John got me thinking about something else. But, Peter, just curious if you could provide some perspective, obviously without giving away any of your deep, dark secrets for competitors, but give us some perspective on sort of what you are looking for as it relates to, you know, the next potential acquisition for Century Mile. You know, are you looking for something that, you know, is kind of, you know, a larger, you know, full-scale resort type amenity with a hotel? You know, there are some of those out there in that range that of EBITDA that you described. Are there certain market characteristics, tax rate, you know, presence of tribal competitors in the market, anything like that, that, you know, can you give us a flavor of sort of how you go about thinking through, you know, where that acquisition might take place? Thanks.
Yes, Brad. We We wanna stay with some parameters that we've also used in the past, and that include that we believe that where we are best in our operating approach is to cater to local markets, and we define that as within a 75-mile radius. It's very unlikely that you see us going to a full destination type of target. Secondly, we like markets where the number of casino licenses is limited. And thirdly, and that's the only deviation from the past, is that we want to grow into units that are as large as the largest that we have today, or even larger.
Thank you.
And there are no further questions at this time. I'd now like to turn the call back over to Mr. Hoetzinger for closing remarks.
Thanks, everybody, for your interest in Century Casinos and for your participation in the call. For a recording of the call, please visit the financial results section of our website at cnty.com. Goodbye.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for attending.